All right, everyone, welcome back to Master of the Universe podcast. Today we're talking about fucking Puppet Master. I think it was released in 1989, dude.
It was.
So here with
October 12th of 89, and the amazing thing, it's a fucking made for TV, made for video movie. It didn't go to the theater.
Dude, I forgot to mention that. Maybe because we just got in for fucking 5 seconds. I'm just kidding.
I'm sorry.
I completely forgot about that. I'm glad you brought it up. So, of course, CJ's here. Y'all know CJ. Say hi to the fans, CJ.
Hi, fans. How you doing?
And the OG Money. So, is there any news this week, G?
Well,
yeah.
I'm kind of at a loss for words here because I kind of gave away a lot of extra little tidbits from the last one. Lou Ferrigno being in a horror movie, you know, coming up. So that I thought that was cool. And then, you know, the Crow reboot.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, other than Ghostbusters 2 is currently in production as of right now. I mean, they're working on it. So, yeah, I think there's some people getting really excited about that. And then from Scream 4, the girl that was from Heroes that she had the power of regenerating her powers, mm-hmm. that they all thought that she died in part Scream 4, is reprising her role in the new Scream 6 movie.
I saw people were pretty excited about that shit, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, I always wanted to meet that chick, but, you know, she has never popped up in the whole horror circuit, or at least I've never seen her. And if she has, I mean, she's nowhere nearby in Texas, so there's that, you know.
Texas?
But... yep, but other than that, I mean, that's as far as I got.
Fuck it, man. Well, Puppet Master. I've been waiting to talk about Puppet Master with people since I was, like, fucking 8 years old. So now I finally get to do it, dude. So this is a full moon feature, and for all you full mooners, you had to grow up in the 90s to know all about them. They were, like, a low budget. We talked a little bit about them, right? But they were, like, something else when they did Dolls. They were called Empire, I think. But basically... these guys were really awesome. The production company or distribution, whatever you want to call them, headed by Charles Band. At the end of these films, he would have like little extras. And as a kid, and you know, Gabe knows what I'm talking about. When you had anything extra in like a VHS, you were like, oh, like especially behind the scenes. Now, you know, we talk all the time about how, oh, you can just go to YouTube now and watch shit. Like that's exactly why I always think about that is because. You know, these films, they would, you know, maybe before the movie, they, like, tell you, hey, stay tuned after the feature to watch the special. You're like, oh, shit, you know, and to me, it made all the difference, dude. Do you remember any of that?
Yeah, definitely. Like, I always got excited about, same thing, like, these Full Moon Productions. They come out with, like, some crazy, you know, low-budget film, you know, where the characters or the movies are, like, way over the top.
Yeah.
And it's... just crazy. But then yeah, like you said, right before you start the movie, it'll pop up saying after the scene, see behind the scenes or how the movie was created, talk with the creator. And it was pretty interesting stuff. Like it was fun to watch. So I definitely caught this movie. This was on my every time, like Derek, I'm gonna have to do it again, but there I am, you know, going to Blockbuster, you know, like on a Friday night. You know, go ahead and pick a movie or pick a game, whatever you want. So here I am running to the horror section, like, see what's new out, you know, what's going on, what's there. And I'm like, oh, shit, fucking more killer dolls? I was like, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and watch this shit.
Yeah, like so, cheesy poofs.
Damn straight, yeah. I was that fat little kid that had Cheetos all over his face and, you know, just wanted all the damn horror movies. And, you know, pretty much, like, what caught my eye is just usually, like, the cover on that. So, yeah, you go ahead and see the cover on Puppet Master. Oh, they got some cool stuff, man. They have, like, the little characters out there in the front, and the door is quite, like, cracking open. So, no, Puppet Master goes along with my whole creepy doll thing. I mean, if there's anything more creepier for anyone, they all have their own vices. But, yeah, creepy dolls are, like, yeah, that bothers me.
Yeah, no, I'm the same way, dude. Like, for whatever reason, like, I guess Chucky, right? We talked about that shit a lot of times. Like, it all started with Chucky for me. And just kind of like, this was, like, not as crazy as Chucky, so I watched this first, you know? Because I was like, okay, maybe I can handle this and see how it's going, you know? And It was, when I saw it as a kid, right? I mean, today's review is completely different, but when I saw it as a kid, I wanted so much more because it seemed super dark. And it was like my least favorite growing up out of the ones I watched because it was so, you know, sex filled. And because I watched it when I was like 8 years old, you know. Of course, by the time I was already like 12 or 13, I started liking it more. And I was like, hey, okay, you know. But now it's like, it's hard to, it's really hard for me to rank the first three because they're all really good. But I remember going to the you know VHS you know section at the rental, and just being like, man, dude, like this is like, you know how it is, dude. When you would go and you would see something new, so this, when you saw that, you're like, whoa, you're like, I want to go into this world and shit like that. And yeah, I mean, I you know, it's one of those that's not real well known, like Freddy, Jason, Halloween. It's kind of one of the lower tiered ones, but it gets over like a motherfucker. But
this should be more credited than it is. I was not optimistic going into this movie at all. In fact, I mean, just going based off of, you know, for me, a movie like this would be more like, you know, Chucky, and that's kind of the pinnacle, and the experience with dolls, and I'm like, this is just going to be the dumbest, corniest, cheesiest stuff, and probably not greatly written because it's not so well known, etc. And I'm going into it just thinking negative, and this movie really surprised me.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm glad. I'll get more into it with you about it. Just kind of telling the story real quick to let people know that's never seen the motherfucker. So it starts off, you know, with all these psychics kind of having like an episode, I guess you would say, right, where they start getting some kind of feedback that this guy Gallagher, who we you know, see in a bit, that he's calling to them. And I was like so confused, like, what's going on, you know? And it's like, you know, they start calling each other like, hey, you know, did you see it too? Oh, we were expecting you. And you're like, oh, yeah. When I was a kid, I was like, I didn't understand it. I mean, I watched some X-Men, but I was like, are they reading each other's mind? It was like so, like, you know, baffling to me. Like, what the fuck? You know, that kind of Chris response. And they show up at the hotel, and they're like, oh, we've been expecting you, and Gallagher's died. And you're like, you know, I'm like, who the fuck's Gallagher? That's all I'm saying, right? I thought it was a cool name.
It's not the comedian. It's not the guy smashing watermelons and telling dumb joke monologues about how they advertise tires being 4 for $99, but then they add on fees for mounting and balancing and rotating and all this shit. He's like, well, we don't want to hear that they're $149. We want to hear that they're $99 for 4 of them.
We wish it was that Gallagher, though.
Funny, a little bit.
But, yeah, fucking, they show up and, you know, one thing leads to another thing. You know, and anyway, they all end up getting killed by these fucking puppets, man. You're like, what the fuck? It starts off with a little bit. Like, this movie's all over the place. It starts off in fucking during World War II or after World War II. Is it before? Or it's 39, right? Before World War II. So it starts. Yeah, and it starts off with this old man who we find out way later is Andre Toulon, who doesn't play the same, you know, and like, you know, Gabe was talking about how movies back then where they wouldn't continue the story. I was one of those little fuckers that was so annoyed when they wouldn't have the same character playing the same character in other movies, because I'm like, that's not Toulon. So they have William Hickey, who's over like a motherfucker and everything he does, playing Andre Toulon. And he shoots himself, and, well, before that, we see him, you know, telling the puppets, yeah, don't be scared, and he puts them in the wall. And that's
I will hide you.
Yeah, I will hide you, yeah. And you have Genghis Khan puppet, who we never see again.
Yeah, I know, he was such a good puppet too, right?
Yeah, and that shit pisses me off. Like you can't show a puppet and then never show him again, especially in the fucking beginning of the same movie. You fucking, what happened to Genghis puppet? You know?
Yeah, they pretty much like I just love they already give you the idea that these puppets are alive in the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
So pretty much they there's like two guys in overcoats. They happen to be German that are looking for Andre Toulon. So, leave it to them. They show up at the front door or one of the hotel rooms where Andre Toulon is, and Andre Toulon ends up killing himself. And pretty much what they were on a hunt for is the secret formula that brings these puppets to life. And that's pretty much like what the damn story is. It's pretty much becoming, trying to figure out where the hell is the formula and what Gallagher has anything to do with this formula. So, I'm taking the spotlight away from Joe. Right,
no, I'm
now.
Glad you said it, because I was all like, yeah, you said it way, way better. It's like, you got this motherfucker named Gallagher, right?
You got this guy, and you got this guy, he hates that guy.
Shit. He hates that guy. No, you know what I'm saying?
You know what I'm saying?
No, it's not like, man, I forgot all about the beginning. I was like, fuck, we skipped over William Hickey, you know.
We're going to start making up movies now. Yeah. Let's go back to Dead Zone.
Yeah, I was like, fuck, dude. But so all this shit happens, fucking puppets taking over, fucking, yeah, so I'm glad you jumped in.
I was like, so as far as
I'm a horrible storyteller. I just like to talk.
You definitely summarize movies better than me. And I mean, I walked in this movie, like, I see the little ankle eye knee view of these fucking puppets perspective they're giving.
Yeah.
And then you see the samurai warrior puppet. I forgot that one's name. But then you see Blade and you see all these other ones. And it's just, you're expecting, because it's a horror movie and it's called Puppet Master, you're expecting all these little puppets to be just going around slashing people like Freddy and Jason. And that's really not quite what it is. I was pleasantly surprised. Like, I was expecting there to be a bunch of heat on these dolls killing people. And it's a very different story.
I always laugh when Chris says heat on fucking, for fucking, you know, talking about anything. It's over like a sumbitch.
So, like, in this case, so like I was explaining earlier, Gallagher and these people are invited. Gallagher is dead. He's in a hotel and they're having his viewing. These random people end up showing up to the hotel who happen to be friends of Gallagher, and they end up meeting up with his wife. Now you're trying to see, like, what the connection is between that and what does Andre Toulon, who shot himself, what does that have to do with the living dolls? Well, they end up explaining that each one of those people, future victims, are all, you know, have psychic abilities. One could see the future. One could see the future or see the past when, by just mere touching things. The other guy, who, like, the main heroine of this story, ends up, he can see the future or see the past, or I think it's just see the future, but only while he sleeps. The other one, they all have, like, some kind of special ability.
Doesn't that guy, was named Alex, right? Remind you
Alex
of Chris?
Alex Whitaker.
He reminds you of Chris, always sleeping and got the long hair.
And the thing is, you know who Alex Whitaker, I should know the actor's name on the top of my head, but I don't remember it, but he should have, what do you call it?
Paul Lamott,
that's right, Paul Lamott. I was going to say LeMay, but yeah, it's Lamott. Okay.
And the only reason I know that is because I have Wikipedia. No, I'm kidding. But I remember his name because of there's a trailer and they say all the Irene Miracle. They say all the names. I'm like, who the fuck's Irene Miracle and why are we interested?
It's a cool name she got though, but you know
some bitch over though.
But the thing is, like, the fucking Paul LeMay or Paul Lamott, Alex Whitaker. To me, he looks and behaves like this character, I think, sets the precedent for the character Tobias Beecher on the show Oz. But gosh, he looks just like Lee Turkus in this fucking guy and plays the same kind of guy.
I am the guy. Yeah, one of the things I have to say about that, I'm glad Gabe talked about how everyone's psychic abilities are a little bit different, because I didn't even mention that shit either. But the one characters I didn't like were, like, the sex couple that all they would do is bang. Because that one guy that's got the, like, you know, the fucking, the long hair pulled back, he's, like, just fucking, kind of like a sleaze bag, I guess. Like, I'm taking Chris's, you know, fucking vocabulary. He's just, like, nonstop molesting his lady, and they're banging everywhere, and I'm like...
Oh, you're talking about Frank.
Yeah, him. So, I mean, that's the only ones that I didn't like, because they were kind of strange. You had... You know, fucking Irene Miracle's character, whatever she goes in this movie.
Hadley.
She seems so, like, the wisest one, you know?
Yeah, I mean, all these characters, they all actually have a reason. The reason why they're all psychic characters, they end up explaining the relation between them and Gallagher. The reason why Gallagher... And the wife was wondering herself, like, why are you all here and why do you all have psychic abilities? So she ends up chit-chatting with one of them, and they explained, they said, well, a long time ago, you know, a very, very long time ago, there was a guy named Andre Toulon who had this secret formula. And this secret formula came from the Egyptians back in Egypt. Okay, well, that secret formula can bring to life the living, bring to life the dead. Oh, really? Yeah. And, well, back then, they used to have sorcerers and stuff like that that would that was covered throughout the earth. You know, but those numbers have been dwindling. So now we call them psychics. So now there's very few people with those special abilities. And those are the psychics. We happen, and those are going to be the only people that can actually find or locate the secret formula. Oh, okay. So what now? Well, that's what we're wondering. He invited us all here, I guess, to say our last goodbyes. But guess what happened? What? He's dead. Oh, yeah. That's right. He's dead. He killed himself. But why would he kill himself? Huh. I don't know. Anyways, the story progresses. You see the dolls running around. Finally, everyone's dying off one by one. Finally, it leaves, like, two members of that psychic group. You know, they're alive, and they're like, you know, they're wondering, like, what the hell is going on? Some psychics, right? They can predict their own deaths, but they can't, you know, figure out why they're there.
Yeah.
Anyways, I mean, I don't know. That's just the writing. Anyways, as the story progresses, Gallagher's alive. What? He's alive? No way. He was dead. I checked his pulse. I even used my psychic abilities on him, and he was completely dead. He shot himself.
She's like, I even stuck my thumb up his ass. What the fuck?
Yeah. He didn't call for shit.
Movie sets the tone, though, just real quick. The movie sets the tone with you see him in that coffin. First, how fucking bizarre is that? Lying in a coffin and you're dead in the middle of a damn hotel. That's number one. And having people test you with sticking that long-ass needle in you. But then you're a woman going into your motel room, and you turn around, and there's this fucking supposedly dead guy sitting in a chair upright.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, there's a reason. They all thought, because this was happening a couple of times throughout the movie, that the dead guy was sitting upright, you know, in a chair. So throughout the movie, people were thinking that it was some type of prank. And they knew it was a... They figured that it was a prank because when they checked his pulse and they checked him if he was dead, even the girl that can touch or they used their psychic abilities on him, yeah, they couldn't send shit because he was fucking dead. Well, the thing was is that he actually is alive, but he's also dead. How is that possible? Well, of course, the secret formula. He got a hold of it. The reason why they're all there is that he needs to kill them, because they all had their nose on the right track when trying to find that formula. So they knew they were on the right track, and they were close to finding it. But thanks to Gallagher, he's just like, hey, I'm a dick. I have the secret powers of the formula where I killed myself. I tested it out, got brought back to life. There you go. You know, I used the secret formula on the puppets. They're alive. I used it on myself, you know. The puppets gave it to him. He came back to life. So there you go. Bam. They're all... So in this case, now he's attempting to kill the last two psychic members. He gives away his whole plan, his whole plot. So he's mistreating the damn dolls.
Yeah.
And the dolls don't like it because he's supposed to be the puppet master. The puppet master is the one who controls the damn, you know, whoever is injected with that secret formula. Anyways, he's mistreating them. They don't like it. They end up turning on him. But before they end up turning on him, they ask him, they're all, what are you going to do with the secret formula? Well, what do you think? I'm going to take over the world. I want power. I'm definitely not going to use it on the damn dolls. Yeah. He's all, well.
That's when they did it.
Yeah, he wanted to use it on the dead and bring back the dead and have all them serve him so he can take over the world. Well, in this case, tables are turned. The puppets didn't like the fact that they were being insulted and misused, so they turned which is crazy, but the little damn dolls ended up, you know, taking advantage of them, and they ended up beating the crap out of them. They beat the crap out of them, killed them, and leave it to them. They're all like, okay, well, the wife is still alive, and the guy is the main guy, the main heroine for all those psychics is still alive. He's the one that has the powers when he sleeps.
Alex Whitaker.
Alex Whitaker. There you go. So, in this case, there you go. I mean, that's pretty much the story. He takes off on his own way. What they're doing with the damn dead bodies, I have no idea. Since the hotel happens to be near a cliff on, next to the ocean, I'm assuming they just threw him overboard. I have no idea. But
and then, oh, would you forget? And then, but what's her name? When he walks out of the hotel, and she grabs that. Oh, good.
Yeah, yeah. So he ends up taking off, but the girl and the girl, the wife, ends up. She ended up. The reason. Gallagher was a dick throughout the whole thing, but he married the girl, and even all the psychics said that's kind of weird because he was a dick. He never really cared about anyone. Why would he marry you? Later on, you end up finding out the only reason why they married her was because she owned, or her parents left her the hotel, and inside the hotel, guess where Andrew, that's where Andrew Talon killed himself. But he also left the secret formula hidden in the walls of that hotel. So he married her just for the property. He didn't really give two shits about her. So he's finally dead. Everyone else is dead except for the main heroine. He takes off. So she goes ahead and she has like a little pet. There's like a little pet dog. I believe it was a dog.
Yeah.
Anyways. Yeah, I don't know what kind of dog it is. It's like a little chow or something. A little shih tzu.
Yeah.
But anyway, so she grabs the dog.
Leroy.
The dog is like... that what?
His name's like Leroy, I think. So
yeah, yeah. He's a little taxidermy dog, and he's been dead throughout the whole thing. Finally, by the end of it, she puts the taxidermy dog down. The dog starts walking and starts, you know, walking around. So like, oh, wow, now she has the formula. Who knows what she's going to do with it. And that's pretty much the damn movie. It's more interesting because we're getting to see the point of view through the doll. So pretty much if you end up seeing like the original Chucky movie, pretty much, you know how like we never saw Chucky until like already halfway or almost the end of the movie. The whole beginning half, we just saw the camera low to the ground, walking and jumping everywhere. Okay, that's pretty much what this movie is. But the interesting is that we get to see different puppets, but all the puppets are not the same. They all have different powers. Yeah, they actually have special abilities. Well, they're kind of special abilities.
And
one
charisms.
Is called Blade.
Yeah.
The what?
Different charisms, different characters, personas, whatever.
Yeah, there you go. So like, there's one that's called Nancy, and she throws up legions.
And he reschedules and stuff, you know?
Oh yeah, well, her name, her actual name is the Leech Woman.
Yeah, same
her
thing though. Same thing if you think about it. Same thing if you think about it.
Yeah, and then there's Pinhead. He's it's exactly how that sounds. He has a little head, big hands, and he punches his victims
and
a
little dick.
Dick.
Hey Chris, what did you say about Pinhead?
Was your man help? How much heat did that have with Hellraiser for him having the same name 2 years later?
Fucking hilarious, dude. All right, continue, Gabe. I have to throw the Pinhead fucking heat joke.
Yeah, and then you got Blade, who has a hook and a knife for each hand. And, there's the Tunneler. Pretty much, it's a little German puppet, and he has, like, a drill on top of his head.
Yes.
So pretty much he charges at you, and he drills at your leg or your ankles to make you fall down. The other one's holding you
Jester.
Down.
Freaking Jester, just the whole three sections of his head spin whenever he gets distressed about something.
Right. So, like, Jester, in this case, he's exactly how it sounds. He's a court Jester character doll, and... to show each emotion, his face switches around. So he's either gasping, happy, or sad.
Or high.
So, I mean, which is weird because, like, I don't see how, like, the face's expressions should change if only three parts of the head are spinning. They're not different heads. They're just, it's one head cut up into different sections. But, it's whatever. It's a movie, right?
No, yeah, that always freaked me out as a kid. I was like, what the fuck, like... But it's just one head.
Yeah, it's just one head.
It's
just
like,
do it.
Yeah, it's like, what the fuck, you know. But I thought it was cool, though. Like, the whole, like, he doesn't do anything. He just kind of, like, sits there, and he kind of, like, expresses the other puppets' emotions, you know, for them, you know, with his face, because they can't, their faces don't move, so I think that's really cool.
Oh, Blade has that, those eyes that poke out whenever he gets excited.
Yeah, when he gets horny and shit, he's like, you know.
Yeah, actually, there's a couple, the couple for the psychic readers, they end up having sex in one of the hotel rooms. Leave it to Blade, he ends up pulling up a damn chair, and he peeks through the keyhole, and sure enough, he sees them having sex, and yeah, his eyes pop out, too. So he's like, oh, wow. You know, he's all excited.
Wow. He's doing his best Owen Wilson impression. Wow.
Wow. Oh, wow.
So, you know, before we close it out, dude, what's your favorite puppet, Chris?
Oh, my gosh, that's hard, because I like, it's got to be between Jester and Tunnler. Those are just, but I don't know why, they're just, the simplicity of them is just my two favorites, but Blade is a badass, dude. Blade is just like a killer. That's someone you send out the front lines of war. So is, and again, so is Micro Penis. I mean, what do you call it?
Pinhead.
Pinhead.
Micro Penis. Micro Penis Hit.
Yeah. I just also say too, I looked at this today. I was like, when he's laying in the coffin, when Neil is laying in the coffin, they don't even do that caking over makeup. Like, Gabe, you're a mortuary guy, so you know what I'm talking about. That caked over makeup they put on the dead bodies and they're laying in the coffin for the wake. I hate looking at that, but
right,
man, we gotta do like a Puppet Master Revisited. I know we, like, that was the first one we did, but I don't think you mentioned that you did that shit at that podcast, did you?
Me?
Yeah. Well, who else did the mortuary like, shit? Not Chris.
don't let me. I don't want to be in there 1 second longer than I have to.
Oh, for the Puppet Master?
No. Did you mention when we're doing the Phantasm podcast way back when? Did you ever mention? I know you told us, like, off the podcast that you did, like, mortuary stuff?
Oh, yeah. So, okay. Well, as to give, like, a little quick tip mortuary story. So, my idea going into college, I was doing art. And I wanted to do something with art, but I couldn't figure out what. So, one of the things I wanted to be was, you know, to work for Walt Disney and be an animator and stuff. But I needed money now. I needed money fast. So talking with a fellow friend, they said, why don't you get into mortuary? Nobody wants to do that shit. And I was like, fuck yeah, nobody ever wants to do that shit. Nobody wants to handle dead bodies and looking at the depressed and all that. Nobody wants to do any of that. So I was like, yeah, I bet you it pays a lot of money just to handle dead bodies all day long. And I'm not trying to be a weirdo or anything, like, oh, I like the dead and, oh, I'm gothic and stuff. No, this was just more of a quick money scheme. I thought, like, oh, I'll go to college to work in the mortuary. So one of the things you have to do, you have to intern. You know, you have to help out, and you have to help the funeral director or any other odd jobs to give you a good idea, like, what you're getting into. So I helped out at least at two or three funeral homes. And I think by the third one, that's where everything kind of went bad for me. So by the third one, I was all dressed up because you have to wear the proper attire to go ahead and work in the funeral home. You can't walk in there with, like, jeans, t-shirts, or shorts and stuff. No, people are there to view their loved ones, and, you know, that passed away. So things kind of went horribly wrong for me. So I went in there, and I was waiting for the funeral director to come meet me. She was already pissed off, and she was already picking on me already. She didn't like the fact that when I was standing there waiting, she didn't like the fact that I had my hands in my pocket. She said that was very unprofessional. I'm sorry, I had no idea. I'm waiting for you. I mean, I'm sorry? Okay. No, don't let it happen again. Oh, okay, sorry, I had no idea. I won't let it happen again. Okay, let's go ahead and go over here. So we got this family that's come in. They brought their grandmother who passed away. She's going to, we're going to get her dressed. They brought her clothes. We're going to get her dressed, get her all prepped up, and we're going to get her ready for the viewing. Oh, okay. And then from there, we're going to take her to the cemetery plot. Oh, okay. And they said, all right, well, go ahead and follow me, this and this. And I was like, oh, okay. So like I said, she's been picking on me, so she's like picking it, like nitpicking at a little thing. She's all, fix your tie, do this, your hair's a little messy, go ahead and fix your hair. I'm like, oh, Jesus, lady, all right. So we get to the part, we dress the old lady, we go ahead and just put the dress on her and everything. We just kind of, it's cut like from the back, so they just kind of, we just put it over her and put it over her arms and shit like that, getting this old lady dressed. I mean, she looks like a small and frail thing. But the lady, this is where it goes wrong. The lady ends up telling me, the funeral director, she ends up telling me, she says, hey, I'm going to grab the feet, you grab the shoulders, and we're going to pick her up. She's a little heavy. We're going to pick her up, and we're going to put her on this table so we can wheel her to her casket. Oh, man. The first thing that came to mind was, I don't know if y'all have ever heard it, but dead weight.
Yes.
I don't know where that term came from. The first thought that came to my mind was looking at that lady, and I was like, oh, is this where that came from? Is this what it means, dead weight? Oh, someone has to have, like, is there a meaning to this? Oh, man, this lady is probably going to weigh, like, she looks like, she was like a 90-something-year-old little old lady. I mean, she's small and frail. But in my mind, I built it up to, like, I bet you she's, like, 200 pounds. Yeah, I bet you she's, like, 300. Oh, man, she's extremely heavy. She's, are you ready? Oh, snap. I'm having conversations in my head the whole time. So I'm like, I'm ready. You got her? Yeah, yeah. Ready. 3, 2, 1. Like, and I shit you not, I kind of been working out at that time, so I can pick up heavy shit. So assuming that she was like 200-300 pounds and she's only like 90 pound lady, I picked her ass up and I slammed half of her body as quickly as I could onto the other bed. And the lady didn't even move. She couldn't even move half of the other half of the body because she was more shocked that the fact that I picked up half of this lady and I slammed the shit out of her. What? And, so the messed up part about it, I was shocked because she wasn't as heavy as she was like a fucking pillow. And the funeral director is fucking yelling at me, what the fuck is wrong with you? How dare you?
Yeah.
This is someone's grandmother. How dare you? Have respect for the dead. How could you do that? I'm like, my mouth is like literally just dropped. And I was in shock the entire time. I was like, I was just apologizing so much. Because honestly, like, usually I don't give two fine shits. If I make an accident or I do something, I'm usually like, hey, I'm sorry about that. You know, shit happens. Accidents happen. But in this case, I knew I was completely in the wrong, and it made it feel worse because I felt like I really did this to, like, a little old lady, which I did, but, I mean, she wasn't alive. So I felt, like, horrible about it. I was like, I'm sorry. She's like, you need to have more respect for the dead, and this is someone's grandmother. So after she was done scolding me, we finished her up. She put her shoes on and other little things that the family gave, jewelry and shit like that. Put her in, wheeled her off, put her in the damn casket, and then got the casket over there to the viewing. And the whole time, this lady is just like, you can see it in her face. She is pissed. The whole family's like crying. They're upset, you know, just like a regular, you know, funeral. And they're saying kind words. And here in my mind, I'm like, yeah, I just slammed that lady, you know. Shit. You know, sorry.
Not that kind of slam.
Yeah, I mean, like, shit, I felt like Hulk Hogan, you know, picking up, like, some kind of little kid and slamming the shit out of him, you know. But, yeah, like, I shit you not. So, anyways, after that, I decided to retire from the funeral business. And I just said it was not for me, and I changed my major back to art shit again. So I was like, yeah, I'm not doing that shit again. That's not a... I felt horrible.
Mortuary science isn't an area of major for most people, so don't feel bad.
Yeah, so anyways, I did not expect that. So anyways, yeah, that's my little mortuary kind of tidbit you know, as far as the dead are concerned. I wasn't doing it to be gothic, and I love
keep your dead family members away from Gabe, that's for sure.
I won't slap the fuck out of him,
man. Hashtag die with dignity.
Yeah,
yeah, I'm glad Gabe. No one saw that shit. The funeral director did, and man, she gave me a talking to.
Man, you got some funny ass stories, dude. We got to do we have to write down some stuff we want to talk about on a podcast and just do a bullshit crazy. You know, I know Chris has done. I know. See, the thing about Chris, he's done a lot of crazy shit, but he won't tell us, dude. He's like, I wasn't that crazy and something ridiculous. But anyway, my favorite jester, dude. That's my number one. And I know you always say Blade, right? Blade's your favorite.
Woo! I got to go with the Blade, man.
Billy the Blade.
Miss Leech Woman, Miss Nancy is like my second favorite, but definitely Blade, man.
What do you give this bad boy, dude? And what's your thoughts before we wrap up?
Oh man, I don't watch this movie too often. Though I do enjoy it and I do like the characters. And it is cheesy at times. I'll give it a 6.5. I really like the movie. I don't find myself really wanting to watch it all that often.
Yeah.
And if I do, I'm gonna end up watching one of the newer ones probably, just because they're much more ridiculous than any of the original ones.
Yeah. Yeah. For me, it's like I said, it's grown on me. It's a real dark film. But yeah, definitely, I'm gonna give it a 6.5 out of 10. I think it's good. It's not great. The other ones definitely have their charm. I can't wait for Chris to see the other ones because they're like really campy and over the top. But CJ,
okay, so that I'm glad you said that because I was getting worried about what the sequels are gonna be because you know oftentimes the first is as good as it gets.
Yeah.
So good to hear. Excuse me, posting over an illness.
He's all dying.
Coughing up a lung. No, as far as my rating on this, I mean, I'd give it an 8 because maybe 7.75 to 8, somewhere around there, because it is a very good movie. What's there is you have two tiers of characters. You have the cognizant, intelligent human beings, which are the psychics. And we later find out is not truly dead, Neil Gallagher. You also have the second tier of characters, which is these puppets. You know, we all love Blade, Jester, I was going to say Micro, but again, Pinhead. It's just insane because those are great characters, but they're not really what I thought they were going to be, a bigger driving force in the movie than they were, because, like I said, I went into this movie thinking it was going to be people staying at a hotel. And these puppets, they're hiding in the hotel, so they kill them off little by little, and someone's going to have to kill the puppets. That's what I was thinking it was going to be. Is it similar to Doll, similar to Chucky? But no, this actually ended up being a more complex story than that. The creepiness is there with like the psychic energies. Like it's like one of those Stephen King novels where all these certain characters have a psychic energy or a common experience that connects them. It's like it in that regard. At the same time, you've got this supposedly, and this is where it feels like a... God, if Tales from the Crypt, like the HBO series Tales from the Crypt, had branched out into a movie, not Tales from the Hood, but maybe just ordinary society, not to appeal to an ethnic group, like they would have made something like this. It has that same creepiness that here's this fucking dude laying dead in the foyer of a hotel. What the fuck? That's just eerie. And then they're putting pins in him, and he's just laying there in his suit in the coffin, open coffin. Like that alone just creeps me out. And then people are seeing him sitting up vertical, and then there's little puppets doing their antics and all this stuff. And the guy is having dreams. Alex Whitaker's having dreams. He has a dream where the girl tells him where Mrs. Gallagher tells him what happened before she actually comes to his room and tells him what happened. That's how fucking sleep psychic he is. And at the same, oh my God, it's just, everything is just insane. Everything's there. And he wakes up and sees the heads on the bed. The creepiness, the two tiers of characters, the puppets are the icing on the cake, but the psychics are the bread and butter.
All right. Okay. Yeah, if this one, it's the most, I'll say it's the darkest one, but I think, yeah, I think you'll enjoy, maybe, you know, I say that, but you're a Friday the 13th one guy, so I don't know what to think, but yeah, I definitely think part two is a lot more fun and, like, has better characters, and three is probably the pinnacle for most people, so I can't wait to talk about those. But anyway, it's It's been a great night. I hope you guys enjoyed this one, and we'll see you on the next one.
You gotta be shitting me, man. That mother's strong.
Hey!
Peace!
I'm out.